Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care.
The sinful seven, they did ride one faithful morn into the west to take from the man and steal the world with a tin star on his chest. An outlaw and a seven made on desert sands they called their own. The sheriff he yearned to conquer and tame the frontier.
As we pick up the action, you all just watched Biff Kingsbury vanish before your eyes. He was swallowed up by some kind of portal that sprung from that cryptic puzzle box. At the same time, a twisted metallic cube emerged from the portal and sputtered to an unceremonious death. Everyone give me a sanity check before you decide how to react.
I failed that one. We don't have these things in Pittsburgh yet.
Wani failed. Everyone else is able to keep it together.
That was fucking awesome.
Alex, though, for Gabe, give me a D8 roll for this bizarre thing you've witnessed.
That's 3. I am just in shock.
Oh, that's not too bad. You're not at a risk for a bout of madness. Take off 3 sanity points, and Gabe is momentarily stunned.
What the hell was that?
I'm afraid I don't know what that was. I found the device in one of Blazy's saddlebags. I never quite could get the box open. Well, I guess Biff figured it out, though.
Do we happen to know where that book young fella was reading went to?
I wish I knew. It was stolen from my wagon. Don't you remember? I tried to search for it, but you were all distracting me.
We better find that thing. I didn't trust it then, and I definitely don't trust it now.
Is Kingsbury's horse still around?
Yeah, Dollar the horse is oblivious, just grazing on a patch of grass.
Come here, Dollar Gunny. And then I'm gonna waltz over to the horse and check the saddlebags and any coats or other things that Kingsbury left behind.
Fortunately, Hugh does find Mary Shelley's Frankenstein inside the saddlebag. He must have put it back when he took out the puzzle box. It's not hidden or anything, so you don't need a roll.
I'd like to flip through the book.
Okay, good. You immediately confirm that Frankenstein was a false cover, concealing what indeed looks like a journal. Would you like to try to read it?
Ooh, sure. Maybe I can get some juicy gossip.
The journal to you, Hugh, it's organized like a loose diary, but it's written in an unfamiliar language. There are strange diagrams drawn on some of the pages. This isn't like anything you've seen before. And there's a burnt, stale air almost leaking out of the journal. One of the pages stands out for its fresh handwriting, and there are a few English notations on that page.
I don't understand this trash, and I do not care for it. I have one objective in mind, and then I toss it over my shoulder to whoever will catch it, like a bride throwing her bouquet.
Okay, but you did look at it, so give me a sanity check for Hugh.
I passed the sanity check.
Ooh, a very good roll. You will lose just the one sanity point. Something about the error that escaped the journal when you opened it. it still affects you. The book has shaken you, but it's not utterly disturbing. Now, the rest of you are welcome to examine the book. He's just thrown it up for grabs.
Do we need to take sanity checks as well?
I'll tell you what. I'll ask for one sand point from anyone else who peruses the book.
I can't read, so I'm staying put.
I don't know what just happened, but it's nothing good. We really need to get going. Help me find some good sticks. Curved just right. And a bit of dowsing might help us find Blaze.
And Knowles is going to be picking up and discarding various sticks he finds as he's explaining this.
I will help him find sticks.
Okay, I'll ask for a luck roll for Jack.
My man.
Okay, on the success, it just so happens that Jack Brown finds some nicely bent sticks just a few feet off the trail.
Oh, my goodness, these will do. These will do just nicely.
And Knowles takes those two sticks and holds them up. He's swinging them around, pointing toward Teacup Mountain. And Knowles begins muttering to himself incoherently.
Ah, what the hell?
Ames, you're standing nearby. This is going to make your hair stand on end, and you feel a jolt of electricity. Ahead of you, there's a convergence of clouds from all around. They're forming lines toward the mountain, and sand and dirt from the trail has raised off the ground in a thin layer. It's just hanging there as Knowles is waving his new dowsing rods.
Thanks for these. Our work should be quite easy now.
What is the cube doing during all of this?
The cube seems spent. It's lying there in a pool of something like quicksilver.
Now, can I go apply some geology to the cube?
Oh yeah, it's a good idea. Our bear PhD geologist can mosey over for a look.
Let me see here. Let me see. This might be a rock, but it's no rock I've ever seen.
On the failure, the only thing you'll notice in examining the cube is that it's cold to the touch.
Now, I think that my human compatriots here, they were pretty alarmed by this thing, but I thought it was fucking awesome. So can I sort of take it, put it in my inventory?
You can try to do that. You are a very strong guy, Bear, but this cube is incredibly heavy. So if you want to take it with you, Jason, you'll need extreme success on a strength check.
Yeah, let's go. Ugh, I can't lift this darn thing.
Okay. You all might be discouraged by seeing this. If Bear can't lift it, it seems hopeless. But would anyone else like to do anything with the cube or the box from whence it came?
I would rather get on with it. If the cube is going to help us, it can only help us later on. If it is going to harm us, then surely messing with it right now will only hasten our damnation.
As you say this, Jack, Knowles is going to lower those bent sticks.
I think we know the way. She's at Teacup Mountain, and we need to go save her.
Well, let's get to it.
Let's get in there.
Yeah, keep going.
You've traveled about 20 miles in total, from Knoxville to a dusty little town called Junction. The pathway is narrowing and the road is steep. You're seeing a different mix of brush and trees all around. There are signs of mining activity. You're beginning to notice tents and carts filled with tools, but for now there's no sign of actual miners. You see piles of logs, charcoal, incomplete cart tracks.
I reckon these people could be in trouble.
And if you're continuing onward, you'll approach the base of Teacup Mountain, which appropriately enough looks like an upside-down teacup. And you see that the mining camp here lies in carnage. There is a massive cracked open furnace, and it's spilling hot copper. It's running like lava out over the dirt, and there are a few dismayed miners trying to put out the advancing fire with sand and water. It's taking them a lot of effort to do this and doesn't seem to be effective. The camp as a whole seems chaotic, The miners who aren't beating back the fire, they're gathered around the mouth of a mine. They're holding up lanterns, looking inside the opening in the side of this mountain. They are ignoring everything else, including that spilling copper and your vigilance committee.
Now, might I apply my keen eye to whatever it might be that lies within this cave?
From here, it's going to be pretty hard to see inside, but a hard success on a spot hidden might get there.
I can't see shit.
Okay, you barely notice the miners, let alone what's happening inside the mountain.
I would like to try a spot hidden, just to satisfy my ego.
Yeah, I'll take a hard success from anyone who's curious enough to take a look.
I'm going to roll one, too.
I have failed.
Extreme success.
Hey!
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, that's an extreme success for Ames Franklin. You'll be able to identify tracks. There are deep gouges in the dirt and a trail of sticky blood, just like what you saw back at the horse carcass. It's going to be clear to Ames that Blaze worked its way into this cave, and on the extreme success, you'll also be able to pick out the foreman or the leader of this mining company. He's standing in the center of the group, putting his lantern forward, and you'll notice that from the way that he's dressed, maybe the quality of his hat, but he is in charge, you're sure of that.
Excuse me, my good man, I have a request.
Oh, go ahead. Didn't see you there. Name's Ned Bergeron.
We are hot on the heels of a dragon of sorts. Is there anything that you can do for us to put us in the right direction?
Oh my God, you know how to stop this thing? We seen it. Hell, there might have been two or three got in this cave. It was a blur, let me tell you. Something flew out, grabbed some people, took them straight up in the air, and dropped them. We started with 15 in our crew. And dang, I don't know how many we got now.
Oh, so you've lost men.
Hell yeah, we have.
My goodness.
He's pointing at the men and counting, but you're seeing about 7 people here.
Whatever the hell it is, I ain't seen none down in Louisiana way. I seen swamp monsters. I seen tigers. I ain't ever seen nothing like this. Now get in there and kill that thing for us.
Oh, no. You can't kill her.
Buddy, that's what you say.
I don't have much, but I'll give you some kind of reward. You get in there and get it. Bring out our survivors and our dead.
Let's get in there, and if it works, I'll take credit for the idea.
And you begin to hear some unholy noises emanating from this cave. You presume they belong to Blaze. Knowles is listening and watching intently. He removes a piece of paper from his shirt pocket and unfolds that.
Oh, it's Blaze!
And he starts calling into the mine from these notes.
P3T Alamo, 3T Convoto, Fidaha, Fihana, Pare Frita, Mia, 3 Frita, La Lamato.
Who has the lowest luck? Can you give me your luck scores right now?
34.
30.
Anyone below 30?
Nope.
I'm definitely not below. Sorry.
Me either.
Okay. Jason, give me a D3 roll for the bear. Okay, a 1's not too bad, but as Knowles is speaking into the cave, a new tooth begins to push its way out of your lower gum. Yeah, this long mangled tooth grows out at a weird angle. It eventually breaks through the inside of your cheek. It's protruding from your face. It's quite difficult for you to speak right now, and the pain is excruciating.
Arrgh, oh God, this is awesome.
Take 1 point of damage off of Bear's hit points.
How incredible do I look now, huh? Does my appearance go up? How great does this thing look?
You look so much more frightening.
I'm going to try first aid on him as revenge.
Oh, shit.
Oh, good. Give me a first aid roll for Jack Brown.
I have failed.
Okay, so how did you try to get rid of this tooth, or how were you helping the bear?
Well, I was at first, I was going to see if I could merely grab it and pull it out of his mouth.
Good, but Bear's gums are real strong, and he brushes them a couple times a day. So you couldn't really get the grip you needed with your bare hands to just pull it out of there. Would you or anyone else like to push this roll?
I'm leaving it. Can't have my tooth.
Okay, yeah, you're welcome to keep it.
Yeah, it looks very tough.
That tooth is sticking out of your face at a very gnarly angle.
Hell yeah, I'm a narwhal bear.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a bonus die on any appearance or intimidate rolls you make from here on out, Jason, for the bear.
Intimidate, please.
Oh, I'm giving you both.
Would you like another sip of my drink? That looks quite painful.
I would love another sip.
Give him a sip and give me the rest.
That's good. Gabe takes a sip and Bear can chug what's left in the flask.
You finished it. Why would you do that? Oh, dear. Okay. Oh, God. I'll need to make some more.
The foreman is staring at your group in awe now, but he is going to offer you lanterns if you're willing to stop this beast.
Take these. We'll wait out here.
Yeah, I think nothing bad can happen. Let's go.
Now, if you don't see me when you come out to mine, just make sure I get them lanterns back somehow.
We'll be calling the headquarters should that happen.
You can do that, but I won't be there. Good luck, man. I'm sure it'll be no problem.
Let us explore the mine.
I'm ready to get that dragon.
All right, let's do it. Let's walk straight into this trap.
You see broken wood frames and deep gashes in the earth under the flicker of your lanterns. The mine entrance opens into a wide cavern after about 50 yards, and your lantern light is casting long shadows against the orange glow of the cave walls. Near the dead center of the room, one miner lies lifeless with a huge bloody gash through his back. There's nothing you can do for this man. And there are several tunnels that are connected to this hub you're in. You can already tell that some of them are depleted from mining copper. It's obvious to you which tunnels are active, just based on the condition of the entrances and the proximity of tools that were left behind. Whispering sobs are bouncing off the walls coming from one of these tunnels.
Could I take a closer look in the direction of the sobs?
Well, give me a listen roll to see if you can pinpoint that direction.
Extreme listen success.
Bear, your animalistic senses are kicking in. The pain of that extra tooth is giving you acute hearing for some reason, and you can tell exactly which tunnel the whimpering sobs are coming from. And you can also tell on the extreme success that from a different tunnel, there's faint shrieking. And if you turn in that direction, you will notice blood around the foot of that entrance. At the same time, Knowles lifts those dowsing sticks again, and those immediately bend toward a third tunnel that's on the right side of the cave from where you're standing.
Ah, there she is. Let's go find Blaze.
So we got two different pieces of evidence pointing in two different directions as to where the dragon is. What do we think, fellas? I mean, I'll tell you, as a bear, I'm going to trust the blood more than I will the magic sticks.
I tend to believe the bear when it comes to tracking and following blood.
As a tracker myself, I also tend to agree with the bear.
All right, let's follow this blood.
Okay, it looks like the majority wants to follow the blood. So you do follow this bloody trail, and you're walking and walking and walking, continuing down this bloody corridor. You're seeing multiple torn-up bodies in miners' clothing along this path. Arms and legs strewn about. This all looks very fresh. These people have been violently ripped apart, but the wounds look more precise than you might expect from an angry beast. Everyone give me a sanity check looking at this carnage.
Nice.
Oops, no.
I enjoyed a extreme sanity roll success on that. I loved the sight of the carnage.
yeah, Bear seems to actually be having a lot of fun.
I might move down here. This is great.
I did fail.
Give me a D4 roll for Gabe and Hugh. The rest of you are keeping your composure.
I got a 2.
Also 2.
Okay, deduct 2 sanity points each.
I'm slipping into madness. My sheet says I'm stable, but I know that ain't true.
And as you all inch forward, a soft blue light can be seen in the caves beyond.
I can see nothing wrong with a blue glow. That's more light. When has anyone ever suffered moving towards a light as opposed to away from it?
Let's take a closer look at that.
Last time we saw some blue lights, some crazy shit happened.
Well, last time we saw blue light, we got rid of an asshole. I think we need to go ahead and head toward it.
Also, it's got some weird animals in, and I'd like to fight them.
That's worth a watch.
I'll go if you guys do.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeehaw.
Following that light, you hear a whispered wind, and soon you find yourselves in an oval room. There's a large ornate brazier that sits at its center. The walls of this room are oddly calcified, and there's a yawning portal cut into the wall. It's flooding this room with soft peals of light. Through the portal, tumbling boulders slowly rotate. They're hanging in a black sea, mottled with blazing pinpoints of illumination.
Oh, well, this is different.
I say we send old Jack Brown in to take a look.
You know what? I've come this far to follow my muse, and I believe if life is lived in a cowardly fashion, it is lived against the very heavenly bird of inspiration's wishes.
All right, so long, Jack.
I shall investigate for the rest of us.
Okay, Jack steps through the portal without hesitation. To the rest of you, it's unclear what happened, but Jack is gone.
Now, did he leave his money behind by chance?
I have it in bearer bonds strapped to my body at all times. Exactly $12,500, none of which you have, broke boys.
I choose to wield Mopalini's arm and to stick it into the portal and see if I can withdraw it after it has crossed the threshold.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. How far into the portal are you sticking the arm?
About elbow deep.
Okay. You push the arm into the portal and then pull it back out. The arm is intact, still gripping that Colt revolver.
Seems safe to me. All right, let's leave Jack here.
I think I might stick my head in just out of curiosity.
Can we hold onto Hugh's feet and insert him horizontally?
Sure, you could try that.
Like feeding paper into a printer?
Yeah, I like that. Are you agreeing to this, Hugh?
You know, I don't take too terribly kindly to that. But what we can do is I'm going to tie my snare together, tie it around my waist, and you can hold on to that so you don't have to manhandle me.
Oh, okay, nice.
All right, we got you.
I'm going to pull out my banjo, and I'm going to call out to Jack Brown. Come towards beautiful music. And I'm going to, like, go in on my leash.
Of course I'm going to ask you for a banjo roll.
Don't let me down, banjo.
Oh, no.
I'm going to push it, and I will also add I will push every banjo roll until I die.
Yeah, you should. Ooh.
No!
Somehow you're playing an even worse banjo tune than before. Maybe this world behind the portal is distorting the pitch, but it's the worst song this new world or your previous one have ever experienced. You are now tethered to the other side of this portal at your waist. And what happens next, Bear, on the cave side, is that you're not feeling any resistance. It's as if the snares drop to the ground.
Oh, no.
Paul would roll over in his grave.
Damn, the snakes in that thing must have ate Hugh.
Hugh and Jack are now on the other side of the portal. You're unsure of their condition.
Can they hear my awful banjo music?
You know, faintly they can. So, maybe it's safe to assume Hugh survived.
All right, well, who's next? I'll go next. Yeah, I'm just going to strut right in.
Okay, Bear casually walks through the portal. He leaves Ames and Gabe behind.
I'm coming too. All Gabe wants dead doesn't care.
I think I've seen everybody go through, and I think it's time for me to go through, even though I know it's a trap.
I thought you two might be catching a flight back to Pennsylvania.
Now, what am I going to do back there?
So the two of you walk through the blue portal, one after the other. And now your entire group is on the other side of this portal. Well, except for one thing. Knowles doesn't seem to have followed you. You're in some kind of observatory, but it's not like any building you've experienced before. It's certainly not a wooden structure, not a brick structure. This is a very odd place, to say the least. The room is composed of an empty sprawl of gray stone that's patterned into strange geometrical lines and inlaid with dull gray metal. If you feel the surface of the wall or the flooring, it's almost like porous coral. And there are these ribbed moldings along the walls that form archways. I mentioned that this is an observation space, and there's a long wall of glass in front of you. It's like you're looking deep into a clear nighttime in East Texas. But you're also seeing a gray rock surface where this building is stationed. There's a brazier full of burnt remains of meat, and that's mixed with an acrid tinge of a blacksmith's forge. From here, you can make out human teeth and bone fragments.
I would like to listen, if I can, just to hear the sounds of this eerie space and what they tell me.
Give me a roll. That's a success. So as Jack steps closer to this view of space, he listens, and it sounds dead. You can hear a dull reverberation from Hugh's banjo and heavy breathing from the other investigators, but you're not hearing any other sounds. Perhaps some kind of science roll could teach us more.
I could give you some geology as far as the rock construction of this tower.
As always, geology is our first and last resort for science.
All right, let's take a look.
Ooh, a hard success. As a geologist and as a bear of science, you have strong evidence that you are in outer space. And the surface beneath this tower might even be Earth's moon. Somehow, after walking through this blue portal, you have left planet Earth. And what you've also detected is that there is something in front of you. It's not glass, more like a field of energy. And it's keeping you separated from the surface of this moon and from outer space. The air in the room is thin. It's becoming a little bit difficult for Jack to breathe, but especially Hugh.
You all right, Hugh?
I'll be fine. Just you mind your own.
You, anything worth doing, you're going to suffer from.
Yeah, anything physical in here is going to be difficult for Hugh and, to an extent, Jack. I think the rest of you are okay with the air in here.
Hugh, I don't think you drank enough liquor. That's probably the problem. You drank dragon blood instead of liquor.
Seems like this would be the kind of place, though, that a dragon would survive. However, the only member of our party who's experiencing any difficulty is the one who's ingested the blood of the dragon himself.
Spencer, give me an intelligence roll on that for Jack.
Oh, I have failed drastically.
Okay, yeah, you're not really sure what's going on with Hugh's breathing, and you're struggling yourself. Not quite gasping for air, but this is not normal. So other than this energy field that's separating you from space, you also see an archway leading off the observation deck into another room, and you do have that brazier I mentioned in this room.
Might I take a look at that? I would like to examine it.
Give me a sanity check for Jack as you're processing the observatory, your own shallow breathing, and you're also trying to make sense of the human remains in this brazier.
Oh, I have failed.
Okay. With all of those things combined, I'm going to ask for quite a lot here. Give me a D8 roll. Oh, boy.
Oh.
losing 7 sanity points. What is Jack's physical response to seeing burnt human remains up close?
I am horrified. My flesh runs cold. My stomach churns, but a point of nausea past all actual physical nausea, where I could not possibly imagine even throwing up, because I have become a void, filled only with the horror of this empty, cold universe.
Perfect. On that, give me an intelligence check to see if you're comprehending anything about what you're experiencing. Oh, no. Okay, so I should tell you, this is the one time you don't want to succeed in Call of Cthulhu.
Boy, this is, I gotta say personally, this is really on brand.
Okay, already short of breath, maybe Jack feels like he's hyperventilating, and suddenly he faints at the sight of the human remains.
Well, I gotta go. I'm sure you can finish it up from here, boys.
The rest of you notice Jack hitting the floor next to that brazier.
R.I.P. Jack.
You can grab his money now, Bear.
Can I rob Jack?
Yeah, I think you can, unless someone wants to try to stop you. Do you want to do this openly or use sleight of hand?
Yeah, oh yeah, openly.
Okay, the rest of you see Bear open Jack's shirt, and he takes all of his money.
1306.
Oh good, you updated your account.
Yep.
As Bear is robbing Jack, someone stumbles in from the far wall, and it looks like Knowles has finally followed you all through the portal. He looks over to Bear and Jack.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Knowles begins to feel around in his pockets, and the rest of you can do whatever you'd like. You can help Jack, you can explore the adjacent room. You could give me a spot hidden roll if you'd like to take a closer look at space.
Oh, I got the spot hidden here. It's a success.
You're seeing these slow spinning rocks in the distance, Bear, and you notice that they're hanging in space, but wait, they're approaching you. And as you kind of squint in to get a closer look at these asteroids or whatever they are, it looks like they're covered. They're covered in dragons.
Boys, we found the mother load.
Yeah, dragons are inhabiting this nearest asteroid. It really doesn't make sense, but the asteroid is hurtling toward you.
Oh my god.
Wow. They're just like Blaze. This must be our home.
I'm set for life. I could bring all these dragons back home. People will marvel at my accomplishment.
And Knowles is pulling a piece of paper out of his pocket now. He's peering through the force field, mumbling to himself.
Uh-oh.
Free ha ti lamo. Three ha convoco. Fin ha ha ha.
Everyone give me a sanity check, except for Jack. This is a good time to be unconscious.
Nope.
Okay. Ames is struggling with this, but it looks like Bear's doing okay. He's pointing these out without any problem. I will take a D8 off of you, Richard, for Ames.
7.
Reduce your sanity by 7 and give me an intelligence check on that.
Success.
Uh-oh. You don't want to succeed on that one, just like Jack. Ames, you're fully realizing the full gravity of what you're seeing, or the lack thereof. What might perturb you even more is that none of your compatriots seem to be bothered by this. These monsters clinging to an asteroid. Ames, you're not going to be able to stomach anything that looks like these dragons. It's all too maddening. In fact, you can't bear to look at anything outside of that force field. Anything in space is going to make you frantic.
I don't understand. Ah!
What's the matter, buddy? Never seen space dragons before?
How is nobody seeing this? How is nobody affected by this?
Most normal thing I've ever seen.
What? Get me the hell out of here.
Seems perfectly all right to me.
I am bored looking at all the space dragons.
I just see dollars with wings and scales.
Most regular thing in the universe.
This is unbelievable. I can't be here. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I can't be here.
Can we throw Ames back through the portal?
Well, that's the thing. You don't see a portal. There's no clear exit to the cave. The way you came in, it just seems to be a wall now.
Oh God, I'm stuck.
But there is an exit to a neighboring room. Jack, you will begin to regain consciousness after your fainting spell, and you'll hear Ames panicking and see him pacing back and forth.
I appear to have missed some activities, developments, and actions.
You've missed the wildest thing I've ever seen, Jack.
It's so normal.
Can somebody please fill me in? I momentarily departed this plane, but have returned.
Yeah, they're space dragons. So what?
As Bear casually points toward the force field, Jack, you can see that these asteroids are teeming with space dragons. Fresh out of your fainting spell, would you give me another sanity check?
I would love to. Oh!
The teeth in the brazier were too much, but the space dragons are fine.
I've been to Louisiana. This is fine. Well, this has gone very well for me so far, being a pioneer and moving forward, so I believe I am going to move forward.
What are you doing? Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going to go to the next room, because I simply don't trust your ability to manage this crisis and or evaluate it.
I'll follow Jack.
I can't read, so I'm going to follow Jack.
I'm going to try and drag Ames with me. Come on, you sad bastard. Let's get you out of here.
Yeah, get me out of this room.
Oh, I thought you wanted to ride a dragon. Look at all of them.
I wish to behold the dragon. I've beheld the dragon. My muse is satisfied. Now, the curiosity has given way to the urge for survival and to understand my situation, neither of which you have guaranteed or assisted with. Quite frankly, I hate your ass, Knowles.
So, we came here to fight one dragon. If you call all those dragons here, we're going to have to fight 1,000 dragons. That's going to take all day.
That's not what I want either. I want to call one dragon to take us home. Not sure how this quite works.
And he turns a piece of paper he's holding upside down to look at it.
He doesn't even know how this works.
As you're moving from the observatory to the next room, everyone give me a listen roll.
Huh? What?
A success. Maybe madness has sharpened my senses.
Oh, man. I rolled a 99.
Well, fortunately, that's not a fumble because Jack's listen skill's so high. Everyone's failed except for Richard, so Ames succeeded. Ames, as you're being pulled along by Hugh into the next room, you make out some of what Knowles is muttering.
I can make it listen. I can make it listen to me. Sacrifice. That's what's missing. I need a blood sacrifice. Let's see.
Can you say that a little bit louder?
Oh, nothing. I need a blood sacrifice. The large one. He's bleeding from the tooth.
These are the ramblings of an insane person.
I think I need to summon the mounts of Big Cow.
My God. He's invoking Big Cow.
Free ha, chi lamo. Three ha, convoco. Fin ha ha ha. Pere, friendema, me.
Knowles seems flustered as nothing is happening.
I'll just have to kill one of them. That's it. Just one.
Told you I hated that bastard.
And Knowles crumples up that paper and puts it back in his pocket. Ames, you've heard all of this with your owl ears.
Yeah, so I'm just like, wait a second. What is that you stash there?
Just some notes I have. I'm trying to call Blaze to rescue us. She's a good girl, but she doesn't know how to find us.
She can rescue us?
Oh, yes. She can fly anywhere. She's a dragon. We do need a sacrifice, though.
At what point in time were you going to tell us that you could summon a dragon to rescue us and get us out of here?
I was waiting to get the calling right. I tried outside the mine, but it just didn't seem right. All I did was damage your friend's tooth with that. I thought maybe it would work better here. There's just this blood sacrifice. Small thing. It would be easy enough with 5 of you. Well, 4 of them is what I mean. you and I have a kinship, I think.
He gives Ames a little wink.
I'm not sure kinship is the right word.
Well, which one would you like to kill? I'll let you choose. You know them better than I do. Doesn't seem fair otherwise.
He's talking to me about which one of my group to off.
Seems to be.
My first choice would be the man from Pittsburgh, for obvious reasons. Second choice the charlatan. I don't trust the wealthy man.
The formerly wealthy man.
I'm fine with it. Gabe goes first to keep him out of Pennsylvania.
Oh, good. You're with me on this. Okay. Well, you can kill him, and I'll do the ritual. I think we can double up on this.
And as the others are stepping into the adjoining room, and Ames and Knowles have been walking and talking, you'll all realize this is some kind of laboratory. You see old dusty tomes and sketches on vellum littering the tables. There's apothecary equipment everywhere. It looks more sophisticated than what you've seen in the past, even you, Bear. There are vats filled with various chemical baths and glass containers. Those hold dull gray and pinkish liquids. Other jars contain parts of leathery wings, claws, and eyes from other creatures. You're having trouble comprehending most of what you see in here. And there is another doorway leading deeper into the facility.
What in God's name are they cooking up in there?
What the hell is this place?
I'm gonna start walking back out of this room.
Okay, as you double back, Knowles is going to attack you, Gabe, since you're the closest person. And since Ames didn't offer up any warning to the group about Knowles' intentions, this is going to be a surprise attack.
Okay, I can take him.
Now, Ames, get him!
Guys, I don't know what he's talking about.
Knowles has a little knife, just a small blade. He'll slash at Gabe. Oh dear, that's a hard success for Knowles on the attack. I'm going to roll d4 to see how much damage Gabe takes. Okay, Knowles has literally stabbed you in the back with a small knife, and you sustain 3 damage, so take those off your hit points. And you are engaged in combat with Knowles.
We need you. Don't be afraid.
He's going to try to jab the knife in deeper, but Gabe can fight Knowles if you'd like, Alex.
Yeah, I'm fighting back. I got a rope, and I've decided I'm going to lasso this man around the neck.
Knowles is very close to you, so it might look more like you're attempting to strangle him at close range.
Giddy up.
Okay, you succeeded. You do throw this ring of rope and encircle Knowles' neck. You can pull that tight if you'd like.
I will indeed.
Give me a strength check to see how this strangulation's going.
Hard success.
Oh, goodness. Give me a d6 roll for the damage to Knowles here. He's gasping for air.
Whoops.
Oh, no. He's taking just 1 point of damage, but you do have him captured now, so he won't be able to attack you as easily. What do you want to do with him?
I have a box of matches. Can I set Knowles on fire?
100%. Yes, you can. Would you like to use anything as an accelerant? You already drank his liquor.
I don't know if I have any. I have blasting caps.
Ooh, gosh.
I think I'd just stick with the fire. Just walk over and light him on fire with a match. Because that's what a bear would do.
I'll ask for a luck roll for Bear to see how flammable Knowles is.
Got him.
That's good. You successfully lit Knowles on fire. He's running around screaming, knocking things over. Give me a d8 to see how much damage he's taking from the fire this round.
Damn.
Okay, I think there's a 3-point minimum. If not, we'll impose one. He's hanging in there, though. He's tough.
I'm told that among my many possessions, I have an astrolabe. So what I would like to do is I would like to try to beat this man's brains in with an astrolabe.
That seems sensible. And it's not Noel's turn yet, so let's see if you can measure his skull with this thing. Give me Fighting Brawl.
Fighting Brawl. Oh, I am not a skilled fighter, but this could go very badly.
Hey! No!
That's a success. How are you hitting him?
as hard as I fucking can.
I'll give you D8 on this. He's on fire. He's being strangled. Poor Knowles. Oh, 6. You've bashed this man's head in, and the paper he was holding floats to the floor like a feather. Knowles is barely hanging on to life and could die at any moment. He's losing consciousness. He's no longer a threat to you. He's crumpled on the floor, twitching.
I want to throw him through the field of energy in a previous room.
Throw him into space?
Gabe, you can drag Knowles by the rope back onto that observation platform and throw him through the energy field into space. His body seems to jolt slightly as you hoist him through that barrier, and now he's limply floating through the void of space. You're not sure if he's dead, but seems like a safe bet.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
On that, I'm going to ask for a luck roll for Gabe.
Failed that.
One thing catches Gabe's eye as Knowles is drifting along toward one of those rolling asteroids. One of those dragons has taken an interest in what's happening and is flying toward you. It's quite large, blotting out the asteroid as it approaches, getting larger and larger and larger. And you see now that it's like a dragon, but it has a bovine head and two very large horns. This isn't a lizard or serpentine look like you might expect from a dragon, but it does have two massive clawed wings. And it has... are those 6 legs? You don't know what the hell this thing is, but it's flying toward you, toward the observation room.
Fellas, here comes the Book of Ezekiel.
I will address this if he wishes to parley.
Yeah, this creature crashes down onto the surface of whatever planet or moon you're on, right in front of that observation window.
I ready my gun.
It looks threatening, but it's not baring teeth or anything like that. It seems to be waiting.
I told you, this creature wishes to parley. I suggest we discuss it with him. The circumstances... well, first of all, I would like to approach this magnificent creature who has already given me so much inspiration in life, and I would like to simply ask, what may we do to return home and satisfy its needs? How may we exit this situation both with what might call a win?
The creature is watching you, Jack, but it doesn't seem capable of human speech.
May I sing to it, then?
I've been waiting.
Okay, here, I'm going to pick up this piece of paper, and I am going to open up and sing what is on this piece of paper.
Okay, you're picking up the paper Knowles dropped. Let me show you what's on the paper, and then you can decide which portion you might like to sing. You'll see what seem to be notated as spells for summon, bind, dismissal, and space mead.
Oh, space mead.
Summon and bind does not sound... that sounds bad. That sounds very, very bad. And it involves, let's see, you burn a sacrificed body, inhale the smoke. That sounds bad too. Actually cleanse the area. Boys, these all look real bad. These all look real terrible. Do we want dismissal or space mead? Now, the space mead, I believe... this here contains a recipe that says we need to leave it for 13 days. I do not have the stamina to wait or anticipate a story that's going to take 13 days. Space meat certainly sounds delicious. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do dismissal. I'm just going to let you know we do have a sacrificed body already. We do have blood. I need somebody who's courageous enough and yet with a sensual enough touch that they believe that they can smear blood onto the haunches of this dragon without rousing it too much.
The only snag with the dismissal spell as it's written is that it requires you to burn a body. Binding, on the other hand, requires just blood sacrifice.
So we need to burn a body, but the body we have, we threw it into space. I volunteer to go sit on the fire.
Can I talk you out of that and we could just attempt to do summon and bind? As Alabama as it would be to set yourself on fire pointlessly, I do not think it helps us here. I'm going to go ahead and do summon and bind, where we need to call...
What if we do both?
Well, I'm going to have to smell you and inhale you as you burn. And frankly, I don't want to do that.
Well, give me your opera roll for the binding, and then you can decide on how this gets executed based on that.
I hope it says extreme success and you have to live up to that. Oh, dear.
It is a fail by 28 points. Now, I really would love to push this.
You can push it, or you can spend 28 luck.
You know what? I don't have much luck left. So, yeah, let's spend 28. I got 34 left.
Okay, so you can't make it a hard success. The singing is going to be pretty good, though.
Pretty good.
Can you see the words clearly?
Yes, I can.
And Tyson, if you'd like to provide banjo accompaniment, give me a banjo roll.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, I feel like my banjo skills should be better given that I carry a banjo.
You and every guy with a guitar. You did fail, so you can push that or use 23 luck to make that a success.
I want to push it. No, I want to use luck. We've got to work in tandem to get where we're going, so I'll use luck.
Okay, and Spencer, feel free to sing the English version if you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Hullabaloo, I call you. Hullabaloo, I summon you. Hooray, hooray. Stand before me, hullabaloo. Hullabaloo, I summon you. Varsity, varsity, stand before me. I summon you from the darkest of void. Mount of Ikau.
That was lovely. Thank you. Following this incredible duet of singing and banjo, the beast bursts through that energy field into the observation room. This is a large creature, so it's forcing you to step back into the other room. Ames, this is very upsetting to you given your intense fear of dragons and space things. The beast is knocking things over. It upends that brazier. Jack, the creature sets its body down, almost in the way a camel does before a rider mounts. The dragon is bending to you.
I'm telling you, listen, you only get one shot like this. One. You might try to kill it as it's running, but it'll never let you ride it again. I'm gonna get on.
It doesn't matter. When you say one shot, I know what you mean. I'm taking it. I'm shooting this motherfucker.
So Jack is climbing aboard this cow-headed dragon while Ames prepares to shoot. What are the rest of you doing?
I'd like to watch and keep my mind calm.
I am going to fight that dragon.
Okay, so you're with Ames on attacking the creature. This is what you've been angling to do, so I like it.
A living dragon's going to be hard to sell for hides and parts, so I'm just going to blast it with my rifle.
Okay, I love this. With Jack Brown riding the dragon, three of you are going to attack it while Gabe wants to see how it plays out. Ames is going to have the first attempt here. You're at close range. What would you like to do?
I think because it's short range, it's maybe a bit misguided, but I'm going to go after it with my Derringer. I can reload faster.
Okay, so you're using the Derringer. Where are you aiming?
I'm trying to take it right between the eyes. And I failed that roll.
Ooh, you get off a wild shot. I think your current mania for Ames and your fear of this dragon in front of the backdrop of space, which also scares you, it's all too much. The bullet hits the energy field, and you can see this bullet slow down to a drift as it crosses to the other side. But you've missed the dragon entirely, so the beast is going to attack next, which is... really unfortunate for Ames. The dragon is going to attempt to bite Ames, who is standing beneath it with a smoking gun. Oh dear. The creature squeals, then rears back its head, and snaps at your abdomen, Ames. And I'm going to roll for the damage. That's a good roll for you, so mark off 3 points. The beast takes a small chunk of clothing and flesh from Ames, but you're hanging in there. Next up is going to be Tyson with Hugh Holtz. What would you like to do?
Taking a page out of Ames' book, I was already on edge, but I know what I need to do. Bring home the trophy. I'm going to steady my rifle, take a belabored breath, and pull the trigger.
All right, give me a roll for your rifle.
And I'm going to fail.
Good grief.
Wow. You know, guns fire a little bit differently in this world, it seems. It's not the way you remember back home. So you fire a rifle off into the ceiling, missing the dragon completely. And Jack, you might be feeling pretty good, like this dragon's untouchable. Next up, we have Bear.
So I would like to use my spot hidden ability to inspect it for weaknesses. But I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm too fired up after waiting all this time.
Ooh, that's interesting. Would it even have weaknesses with Jack Brown in charge? Well, give me a spot hidden for a potential advantage in the next round.
If I don't just fly this thing on out of here. Bye, losers.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I'm going to peer closely at this thing. And I'm going to... Oh, it's a failure. We learned nothing. And do no damage our entire round.
Would you like to get super close to the creature and push that roll?
Yeah, let's do that. Success.
When you get closer and walk around this dragon cow beast, look, you're a geologist, so you understand materials and stuff. It looks like the back half of the creature, especially around the haunches, is covered in saltpeter, which you know is an oxidizer in gunpowder. If you're using firearms, and I'm sure this is all scientifically valid, maybe you can create some kind of reaction here.
All right, fellas, shoot that dragon's ass.
Jack, do you want to do anything? You're sitting on this dragon while your party attacks it.
What I would like to do, in so much that I can control said dragon, I would like to encourage it to leave. Let's get out of here. Can I do that? Is there any way I can communicate? Anyway, I can hasten this dragon getting their ass out of here.
It's bound to you now, so it's likely going to follow your commands. The problem is that the creature's very angry at your friends right now, so I do think you're going to need to persuade it in some way. I don't know that this involves opera, but you could roll persuade.
Bang!
Hard success. Beautiful.
Yeah. We're going to the sex planet, me and this dragon. Everybody else, you know, hell with y'all.
So, Jack, you've summoned and bound yourself to this dragon, or whatever it is, and the thing turns around, whips its tail toward the other investigators, then begins to fly through the energy field off into space with you on its back. The rest of you are standing in the observation room.
Can I take a shot at the dragon's ass on the way out?
You know, I will give Bear one shot. You only took a spot hidden in the first round. I'll give you one shot at the ass.
Looks like I get a 25%.
Let's do it.
Blam! Fail. But can I apply 20 luck? I have the luck.
You can if you have it.
Yeah, I got plenty. All right, I've done it. Success. Bam! Right in the ass.
What's your damage for that gun?
4d6.
Oh my. And since you are shooting the weakness, I'll double your damage, so this could get ugly.
Oh, god damn it.
13, so 26 damage. As this dragon continues through the portal and begins to fly off into space, I'm almost picturing this scene like Dr. Strangelove, with Jack waving his cowboy hat riding off into space on the back of this dragon. But Jack, earlier when Knowles offered you his flask, you used sleight of hand to pretend to drink it. That was space mead, and unfortunately without that, the vacuum of space is going to affect you. You now face the coldness of space, and your body drifts from the back of this creature into the inky abyss. You refuse to stop screaming until the void fills your lungs, and the beast you are riding notices your dismount and lunges toward you, but not for rescue. With the binding broken, it takes a nice meaty bite as your body splits in two.
This is how I wanted to die. That's fine.
At the moment of the bite, Bear gets off this ace shot. Suspecting that the saltpeter on the dragon's ass will ignite, incredibly, the whole ass does burst into flames, eventually consuming the monster and what's left of Jack's corpse. And you all just see Jack in space flames, I suppose.
Finally, Jack caught a flight.
Jack is clearly dead, having been bitten in half and then exploded.
Awesome.
It's okay, I got all of his money first.
I warned him this was going to happen.
Now, another alarming thing that's going to happen is that other creatures, juvenile dragons that are clinging to one of the asteroids, they turn to witness the explosion. They see their fellow dragon cow thing go up in flames. And now they've turned their attention to the observation deck where you're standing. Four of them are flying toward the energy field.
All right, I cock my shotgun. Let's keep working.
I'm off of sidelines. I'm in a fight now. I got some provisions tucked away. I'm going to lure them in with these provisions, these sandwiches, and then send them over to my colleague for the kill shot.
You can do that, and you'll each have time for one shot before they're close enough to attack. Give me the rolls for your guns. Okay, I see that Bear failed.
And I failed.
I also failed.
Well, that couldn't have gone worse. One of the dragons barrels into the energy field and collides hard with the stone floor. As it raises its head, it's going to take a bite at the closest person, who is Bear. Bear, you killed the other creature, so this feels right. Oh no, it does hit, and it's done 6 damage. How is Bear doing?
I'm down to 5, feeling great. Keep it coming.
What are your total hit points?
Out of 12.
Give me a constitution roll.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Oh. On the failed constitution roll, Bear is unconscious with a major wound. He's bleeding out on the floor of this platform.
Oh, no.
Next, the beasts are going to target some obnoxious banjo playing. One of them reaches through the energy field to take a swipe with a crooked claw. It's got 4 legs for running and 2 for fighting. And it misses. Finally, some good news. Ames is going to be the next target of another dragon trying to push its way in for a bite.
What am I rolling here?
You could dodge or you can fight back.
Failed to dodge.
Okay, you failed either way. But so did the dragon. It's having a hard time pushing through with the other creatures crowding the platform. The final attack of this invasion is going to Gabe. Again, a biting attack.
I'll dodge. And I'll fail.
Okay. I have a regular success, so I'm going to take D6 plus 2 damage. Oh my god. 8 damage. Give me a constitution roll for Gabe, Alex.
I keep the failing streak alive. I am down to 1 hit point.
Oh dear. You are unconscious like Bear. And will need to rely on your compatriots to fend off these monsters.
Well, I got a lot of delicious meat inside because of where I come from. I got French fries on certain parts of my body instead of air.
So the two of you that are still conscious, it's your turn to attack some space dragons if you'd like.
What am I shooting at exactly?
Well, there are 4 dragons in the vicinity, but 2 of them are more engaged with your group, and the other 2 are fighting and pushing to get into the room.
Shoot them in the ass.
You remember these words from Bear before he fell unconscious.
I'm dreaming it to myself.
In my mania, I'm taking somebody down with me, I think. With the Derringer out again, I'm just like shooting all over the place, and maybe like we can get a ricochet and hits one of those dragons if we get lucky. If I'm going out and doing it guns ablazes.
Okay, yeah, don't do yourself any favors. Give me the roll on that Derringer. I love it.
Got it. Regular success with 6 damage.
Okay. You haven't slain any dragons yet, but you did catch one of them in the back of the neck off of a ricochet, and blood is spouting out like a fountain. The floor is getting very slick now, and that particular creature looks furious. It's up to Hugh now.
Hugh Holtz, in all his pride, drops his gun, grabs his banjo, and runs for his life.
Okay, that sounds good. Give me a banjo roll if you'd like to play yourself out of the room.
Play like you've never played before, Hugh. Oh, it's so close.
Do you have 5 luck points?
Oh, you bet I do. Yeah, I'll spend 5 luck.
Okay, yeah. So you burst into the laboratory playing the sweetest melody.
I'm just running to the closest door I find and banjoing my way through this building from doorway to doorway as fast as I can.
Yeah, so Hugh has abandoned you, Ames. Jack is dead. Bear and Gabe are unconscious on the blood-soaked floor. You're the last man standing on the observation deck. The dragons are going to lunge at you with bite attacks. Give me a dodge or fighting roll.
Nice. A regular success.
That's perfect, because I failed. The dragons are again fighting for space in this room, and the first one can't reach its neck out far enough to bite you as you're scrambling backwards. The second dragon is fully inside the room, and it's also going to be chomping at you. How about another dodge?
I failed this time.
Ooh, I have extreme success.
Uh-oh. It's been real.
This is too much for Ames. This dragon lunges forward and takes a really good position looming over you, Ames. And it nearly swallows you whole, crunching down on the bones that didn't quite make it through.
And I will also say in some way, shape, or form that I told you this was all a bad idea. It was a trap and I knew it.
Yeah, at least you die with that I told you so moment. You hear this, Hugh. And now with Hugh Holtz leaving the gang behind, these cow dragons are going to make a meal of poor unconscious Bear and Gabe. One beast slings Gabe back and forth in its mouth, ripping his flesh to shreds, then throwing him against a wall. As Gabe slides down the wall, his entrails spill out over the stony floor, and his blood courses through those geometric patterns.
I've accepted my fate.
On my way out, I would like to apply geology to the situation. Though, unfortunately, it was a failure. I was unable to ascertain the nature of the rocks I am being splattered against.
Yes, and you're a much larger man, so the dragon holds you down with a clawed foot and tears away at your meaty torso, but you do get a nice final look at the stone floor, which is a comfort. And finally, the last living member of the party, Hugh Holtz. You are dashing through the laboratory. There's a connected hallway. You could continue running.
I take the hallway.
Okay, and from here you see stairs. They're spiraling downward. Those are off to the left of the hallway. And there's also, it's like a hidden door in the floor, but it's not well hidden. It's just ahead of you in the center of the corridor.
Which one's closer?
Probably the door in the floor.
I take it. I'm panicked. I'm sweating. Strumming my banjo, of course.
Yeah, you yank on the handle, but it's not opening. It's locked or stuck.
I'm going to use my banjo to smash through it.
Okay, give me a strength roll. I want a banjo roll, but let's do strength. You're better at that.
All right, got it, but not by much.
Woo, okay, a regular success. Unfortunately, your banjo is obliterated in this process, but it did the job. And you can open this hatch and crawl through the opening if you'd like. It looks like another stairwell descending into darkness. There's an ominous black mist. It's shrouding the stairs beneath you.
There's no time to think. I dash down the steps.
Okay. You begin to hear scattering movements below, Hugh. And as you descend, you see something spread out over several steps. It's the head and torso of Biff Kingsbury. His eyes have been hollowed out. His body has cleanly severed into several pieces. These cuts remind you of the bodies you saw in the cave. And a cuboid creature slowly slinks into view. And then another. At first they seem skittish, but perhaps realizing you're not a threat, they approach, with their sentient tendrils flying toward you.
Stay back! I take out my skinning knife and I try to hold them off. I'm trying to, like, brandish the knife to keep them at bay.
Are you gonna hold steady here, or are you backing up the stairs?
I see dragons and death cubes. I'm gonna try and fight the death cubes at this point. Can I push through them, or am I just trapped down here?
You can try to push through them if you'd like. You see two of them now.
I'm gonna try to move past them with my knife out.
It's too bad you don't have your banjo to swing around. Give me a roll for that knife, fighting brawl.
Oh, extreme success and a mess of damage.
You plant your knife into the first one of those cubes, and its body melts around your knife. It's oozing quicksilver. The tendrils spring free and writhe like live wires. This is exactly like the creature that came out of the puzzle box that Kingsbury stole. The bad news is the other creature lurching forward.
Stay away, you awful beast!
Okay, the cuboid has an attempt. That's exact success, unfortunately. So it's going to get D8 damage as it fires a tendril toward your head.
It ain't got nothing.
That's 5. So 5 out of what?
9 hit points total.
Okay, more than half. Give me a constitution roll like your life depends on it.
I did not pass.
Oh no. Y'all have not rolled well at the end here. This tendril bores into your forehead, Hugh, rendering you unconscious. Your body slinks further down the steps before reaching the ruins below. Next to your body rests an open puzzle box, similar to the one that swallowed Biff Kingsbury. Not that you'd notice, being unconscious.
Good night, sweet prince.
It's all terribly sad, as more cuboid creatures slink from the shadows and swarm over Hugh's body, repeatedly stabbing at his soft flesh with pointed tendrils. Over and over and over again. The tendrils weave through his eye sockets, his mouth, and his ears until it's barely discernible that Hugh was ever a human being. The cubes flicker and wail as the last member of the party is mashed into oblivion.
Success. We died in a trap.
It was a hell of a run anyhow.
Yeah, I'm impressed. If Hugh got that puzzle box working, he may have been able to teleport back to Texas. But he died. You all died. The dragon's brood will remain here to serve what calls this ruined lab home. Your dead bodies, along with the unfortunate trapped cubes, are destined for greater things. What's left of you is reduced to liquids that will be fed into the being that sits at the heart of this place, down that spiraling staircase, to become part of something truly wonderful, a new form for an indescribable evil. And there's no one to stop it now. It will wake in time, and Big Cow will be waiting to deliver it to Earth. In the meantime, no one seems to remember you existed. You have been obliterated. The world went on without you for as long as it could.